Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. I'm Super Alex.
I'm Dr. Kevin, and I am natural today.
I guess that means that I will be the junkie.
He is definitely got a lot of junk.
Wait a minute. I think there might be somebody else here.
Yeah, don't leave me off.
Who's that?
Who is that?
This is Dr. Dosha, and I'm lifting it up spiritually.
That's right.
He's pumping you up spiritually.
Yeah, pump you up.
We are here.
And he we are...
The Supernatural Junkies.
Wondered how you could get your hands on some awesome Supernatural Junkies gear? Well, the answer to that is it's now available on redbubble.com. We have a shop on there for Supernatural Junkies, and there's t-shirts, leggings, sweatshirts, hoodies, even a shower curtain. So if you've always wanted to have a shower curtain with Dr. Kevin on it, you can just get one with just Dr. Kevin. We have our logo on there on everything. And we also have all of us as singles. You can get magnets, stickers, you name it. It's all available on our Redbubble shop. I will be posting a link to that in our show notes for the last few episodes and from this point forward. If you have any questions about anything, you want to contact us, you can do so at supernaturaljunkies@gmail.com. Thanks, guys. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. This is Super Alex, and I'm here today with...
All super today.
That's right, Dr. Kevin.
Yay!
Dr. Dozer!
Hello, hello, hello!
Dr. Dennis!
I am here.
And me.
The super awesome.
Just yeah. Just me.
It's you. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had to do one of these in a while. It feels kind of weird.
Yeah, like we're doing a lot of,
you know, we had the Supernatural Junkies, Save Our Children conference come up.
And, it was good. You guys missed it.
We are going to be releasing all those videos coming out, so make sure you look at us on Rumble. Of course, we can't put our stuff up. I don't know if you guys know what. I can't get it up on YouTube, right? So we've been blocked, censored, et cetera, but we will be releasing all of the videos from the Save Our Children conference. We'll be releasing them on the Supernatural Junkies channel on Rumble. But most of those videos we will be able to get out on YouTube. So it's really exciting. And you're going to see we're going to jump through some of the topics that were brought up at the conference. But the whole point of the conference was, if there's one thing going on in the world that we should be willing to stand up for, if there's something that's so easy that everybody should be able to make a call that something is happening that we as Christians need to stand up for, it's really what's happening with our children. So what did you guys, everybody got to go, of course.
Yes, we were there.
Alex had to put out fires, so she missed some of the speakers. So
I did. I was bummed because the speakers I saw were amazing. Walt Heyer, it was so good. I got to watch his. I got to watch Dr. James Thorpe. Amazing. Those two guys, all heart. I love them. They're great. And who else did I see? I saw Dr. Mark McDonald speak and...
You got to hear some of Jonathan Kahn.
Pastor Lucas Miles. No, I didn't. You pulled me away. Sorry, but yeah. But luckily, we have the video, so that's good. I didn't really miss it, you know? I just missed it live at the time. But, you know, this perhaps you guys are thinking like, so bummed we didn't get to be there. Well, keep your eyes peeled because maybe we'll be doing more in the future. If this is something that you think that your church needs to have, just contact us and we can figure something out for you guys to get that content.
And you can write, of course, the Supernatural Junkies, of course. And what's our email address, sweetheart?
Info?
The one you use?
info@supernaturaljunkies.com or Gmail.
You could use that one too.
Supernaturaljunkies@gmail.com. Yeah.
And then we also have Truth, Faith, and Action.
Alliance.
But it's really truthfaithandaction.org is the website. And then it would be info@truthfaithandaction.org.
Sometimes it sounds like you're saying in action, but and action.
I think it's
in or
it's and.
It's and.
So it's and
truth, faith, yeah. And action.
See, it's
and.
The way that you say it.
Mm. Truth, faith, and action goes into action.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
And please, if you're feeling generous, There were some great speakers there. And,
amazing.
And the Truth, Faith, and Action Alliance, they are all accepting donations.
That's right. And the good news is, you know, while the Supernatural Junkies are, you know, we're not exactly top tier, you know, but we,
what? Right.
Well, let's be honest.
Not?
We've been censored. We've been dropped. But listen, even on a local level, the Supernatural Junkies are involved. We are trying to change the world for Christ at a local level. And we had national speakers and we made national waves. And those are facts, folks. And what happened here, you can watch it on YouTube. Right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to do that. And you'll be able to see that we are in the center of things that God is really doing in the world today. And so I'm so proud that we're not just talking about things. We are doing something about it.
So once again, who has yet censored us again?
Well, first of all, my wife censors me. I should talk to you about this.
But we don't have enough time.
But most people feel this is actually a good thing.
Dad joke.
Well, dad jokes.
All day.
But, you know, bottom line is we're going to have to talk about what we can put. But almost everything is going to be able to go on YouTube. It's really Dr. James Thorpe's would be the only one that would probably be questionable. And it is surprising how many crazy things there are on YouTube. But
he's a doctor. He's a very well-known, very accredited doctor.
They don't care about that. Now, they haven't censored us, have they?
Not yet. Not with Supernatural Junkies, they have.
Well,
but
we
not with Truth, Faith, and Action Alliance.
Because how dare we talk about things that are actually happening? And that, by the way, everything we've talked about has now proven to be true, as we know, with all the information coming out now.
Yeah, we'll bring in some of those, because we're going to go through some stuff today. But it was a very powerful conference. And you're going to get a chance to see that we really did address virtually every assault that's really coming against our children. Okay.
Yeah.
And the address by Jonathan Cahn that we'll be releasing here probably next week. We also had all of our speakers on a panel for the pastor's breakfast.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
So they were able to take questions, you know, and so just to give you guys a few rundowns. We had, of course, we were talking about child trafficking.
Nate Lewis.
And we had Nate Lewis there with great. Innocence Rescue Mission.
Yep.
We had breakout sessions at the conference with two local groups that work with sex trafficking. And then we had one local group, United Abolitionists, which are statewide. And then we had, of course, Nate, which is on a national level. We did that, you know, with respect to the medical assault against our children, which, you know, Dr. James Thorpe, even though he's going to get censored on YouTube, he's just quoting statistics right out of our own government.
Yeah.
He's just quoting statistics right from the Pfizer documents of what happened to people in their own trials. And yet this is information you're not allowed to know. So we also talked about what else, guys? We had Walt Heyer on. What did he talk about?
Walt Heyer, which we've done an interview with him before. He transitioned, right, initially from male to female, and then he lived like that for 8 years and was still dissatisfied and still unhappy. And so he talks about detransitioning and what's happening out there to children and this medicalization of children and why we shouldn't be doing that and why it's wrong. So
didn't he come to the Lord then? Detransition?
Yes. Well, yep. It was while, yes, he was seeking help for why he was still unhappy and happened to find a Christian counselor who actually led him to the Lord. And that is when he was able to accept who he was and what had happened to him in his past that made him want to disassociate from being male. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to heal himself of that with the help of God, of course. But yeah, so he spoke about that and it was really good. He's got a couple of books out and he has a bunch of documentaries about this. So you guys should check it out. Walt Heyer, sexchangeregret.com is a website where you can get lots of information about that. And I think that website in particular also is something that Pastor Lucas Miles is very, that's his website as well. They both do it, but he's very passionate about that as well.
Lucas is sponsoring.
Yep.
Something I'd like to say about that, and I'll say it because Walt talks about it, that people now hear things about children who, and we hear things where people say they're born in the wrong body. Can't think of a bigger lie than that you're born in the wrong body. Walt didn't, from what he gives you, Walt didn't just
by happenstance, say, hey, I believe I'm in the wrong body. I'm a girl. He had a family member. And because he says who it was, we can say that. His grandmother, mm-hmm. when he was about 4 years of age. And I can remember hearing him years ago, and he brought out the same thing at the Save Our Children conference, that she dressed him up in a purple dress.
Yeah, she made it for him.
And made him this dress. And that really can confuse a child. And it can really, let's use this word, you can demit that mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then they bring this into adulthood,
yes.
believing this is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very important that parents do their part in helping to develop their child's mental structure. Because yep. you are their immediate environmental structure. And their mental structure is going, what you're going to have there is how they see the world, how they see others, how they see themselves, how they play things out. And so it's very important that you're speaking in their lives, who they are. And I want to say this, you want to speak in their life what God's word says about them. Tell them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. That before they ever even came into existence, before they came into the earth, before they were delivered from their mother's womb, before all of their parts were formed, God knew what they would look like. He knew Amen. Who they would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were no mistakes. God didn't, oh, I missed it on this one. He knew what they would be. And we need to be teaching this to our children and let them get this in their heart and be able to articulate that same thing with conviction. They can hold convictions. And so we need to make sure that we're doing our part in their lives.
Right, right. That's a good point, Doc. I mean, we were talking about something earlier before the podcast, and I have a scripture pulled up for that. But the reason why this is happening is because they went after the family first, and they destroyed the family unit. And the family was instituted by God, right? And in that institution, there is a headship and lordship and management and all other things. So when you lose that and you allow the children to direct how they are to be raised, which is what we're seeing now, and that's what the state is pushing for, that if your child wants to transition and you don't agree with it, we'll take your child from you, right? That is in total opposite order of how God has things, right? And I think what verse that you brought up earlier. Whoops, I knocked it out of the way, Alex. I knew I was going to
cry Durham down.
This is from 2 Thessalonians 9 and through 11. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not received the love for the truth that they might be saved. Kevin just moved my microphones. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I think as we continue today's podcast, we're going to see how that verse is so true in the time we're living in.
Yep. So there's so many places we could go. Just remember, we're going to be releasing those podcasts. All of those sessions we'll be releasing on our podcast and just audio version. We'll have them on the Rumble channel. Mm-hmm. But we also have a Truth, Faith, and Action channel on YouTube, and they'll all come out there. So Walt shared on our podcast, was one of the most powerful podcasts we've ever had.
Yeah.
And he shared his testimony at the conference about how he actually came to Christ. It's a spectacular story. So
absolutely.
I won't steal any more of it.
Amen.
You know, so today you guys decided we would talk about probably one of our first guests was Dr. Mark McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a psychiatrist and
Mass Delusion Psychosis.
That was the book he wrote during COVID.
The first
book.
Yep. It was how America was taken by this story of fear, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so he was one of a very, very interesting guest. And again, remember, you know, with us being Christians and us, you know, firmly adhering to a Christian worldview,
mm-hmm.
we're always going to have some times when we interview professionals such as Dr. McDonald, where, you know, he's going to use his terms defined by his profession, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm going to use some of those terms. But we were able to, I recommend you listen to that podcast because, you know, when he's talking to Christians, a couple things came out. Number one, and we will talk about this right away because this is a term he used up, but he says that the LGBTQ and really the BTQ part is really mental illness. And he gave his reasons why he felt that was the case, right? The second thing that happened was, is that at a certain point, he did turn and say, but is this mental illness something that's happening naturally or organically, or is this something that is actually engineered, right? And so when he goes down that road farther, you know, he says it's engineered.
Yes.
And then he talks about, now we talk about engineered, you're talking about what your Bible says, the one who trains the child is the one that determines which way they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a spiritual principle. So he shows you, and he went through several ways of looking at this, of how they have engineered it to this point, where people are literally, again, not embracing basic parts of reality, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. We're talking babies know the difference between a man and a woman almost instantaneously at birth. Thousands of years later, we know whether you're a man or a woman. But suddenly, we have this new
religion.
Archaeologists
know this too. When they dig up a body, they only even have to see not even the hips, but if they even to get parts of the face, they can tell by the bone structure of that skeleton's face whether it's male or female.
Yep.
Now, tell me again how you can change from one to the other. It's not possible.
No.
Right. So it's got to be something that to think that you can literally become the opposite sex by taking, you know, some pills or some shots is, that's insane.
Well, I think Mark stated that it's impossible. You don't change
you can't.
Sex. Okay. We know that. And where he was going with that mass delusional psychosis was that this was an idea that has been pushed forward and onto these children.
That's right.
Right.
So, and going back to what you're saying, Proverbs 22:6, teach a train a child in the way it should go. That goes both ways, like you said.
Yes,
you can be godly or it could be ungodly.
That's right.
So what they've been doing is training the children in an ungodly way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening in the schools. And that's why Sam Sorbo was talking about at the conference about pulling your children out of school and homeschooling them because we can't keep them there.
That's right.
And we know this because the numbers, what is the number? 30%? Is it?
Well, it was 40% of Gen Z 40. Now identifies as LGBTQ.
Remember,
this is something that was less than, you know, maybe less than 1%
peer pressure
15, 20 years ago, right? So you can't have an epidemic of a genetic disease. This is a cultural religious.
Yes.
Why is it religious? And this is another thing that Mark was able to put his finger on. And of course, you know, again, being Christians and knowing who we are, we were able to get him to say that this is a religion. Because why? When you say you're born in the wrong body, you're saying that you are an immaterial, non-physical entity. And that means you're speaking in spiritual terms. So by definition, you have these metaphysical assumptions that cannot be proved or disproved, right? Because they've moved it off into the spiritual dimension. But the thing is that it's clear no other religion in the world believes you're born in the wrong body. And we have religion, separate from state. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to push our religion on these children. Like our action plan is to love God, love ourselves, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. And those three principles are all in the first two great commandments given to us by Christ. But these people, with their new religion, their action plan is to mutilate children and give them chemical castration drugs to where they will never have children and they will die virgins. And they will do all of this before they're at the age of accountability. Now, that's their action plan. But we are the haters. We're the phobic ones. You see what I'm saying? And so this is one thing that Mark brought out at the conference. If this is a religion, why are you so afraid to share your religion? Why can't we share our Christian worldview? And by the way, that view, like Dr. Dozier was hinting at, is about focusing on how we were made in the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. But every one of us knows when we went through our ugly duckling stage, right? Mm-hmm. We know that when we saw what was in movies, books, TV, magazine, we all felt inferior. Because why? They have been feeding us a false view of what a man and a woman is so long.
Yes.
You know, remember when the sin first happened and God goes, who told you you were naked? Hmm. Right? And you're like, this is what I want to say. I was sitting next to a lady on a plane and she's a Christian. She goes, but don't you feel that some men just are effeminate? I go, who told you what effeminate was? You learned that. So we can all identify with these people in one sense that they look at what's in movies, books, TV, magazines, and they feel inferior. They feel like they don't fit in, which is why when we get to Walt, he says, when did you stop loving who you were? When did you begin to hate yourself?
Yeah.
When did you want to become someone else? Now, we all can identify with that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But this is where the new religion comes in and pirates them, right? Mm-hmm. And indoctrinates them. The solution is that you were put in the wrong body.
Yeah.
Right? So this part, that religious part, but one thing that Mark said there, and I think it's hard for a psychologist to say, but when he gets to the part where he talks about an engineered psychosis, again, we're going to let Dr. Dozier reframe these in spiritual terms, mm-hmm. right? And they're not going to match up with what he's saying, but he said, this is satanic.
Right.
In other words, when you see how it all fits together, you come to the conclusion that there is a force, a coordinated, intelligent force behind all of this.
Yes.
And that's important to hear a psychiatrist, you know, get to that point.
But also why, you know, because anything that we say gets labeled as transphobic, but why is the real transphobia, the demanding that our children be medicalized and cut into pieces, right, and be dissected, why is that not considered transphobia, pushing them to do that to their bodies? How is that not transphobic?
It is. It is.
Well, I go back to what Dr. Dozier was saying when we opened up and he was talking about the responsibility of the parent.
Right.
And if you're that far gone in your mind that you're going to allow someone to do that to your child, then I don't know what to say. You just get on your knees and ask Christ for forgiveness because that is demonic. I don't know how. I mean, come on. We're all parents. We've had children and we have children and so forth. There's no way you're getting near my kid.
That's right.
I just saw a bumper sticker. Oops. Were you okay over there, Kevin?
Too excited.
slid right off.
I didn't know my ears were so slippery this morning.
But I saw a bumper sticker where it was a 3-piece bumper sticker about you going into the bathroom, following my daughter into this bathroom, and like a woman's label. You will be going into this bathroom showing a handicap sticker. You understand what I'm saying? You're not coming near my kid.
Yep.
You come near my kid, I'm going to lose it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You can't, and there's no defense. And these parents are allowing this, and they're going forward with it. But what do we talk about Romans 1 and 2. Those who condone this are just as guilty, right? It's just like being present when someone's committing a murder.
Well, and then you know, silence is an acquiesce.
Yes.
So is anybody else want to add to
but
what?
They're being manipulated. The parents are being told they'll kill themselves.
What I want to do is Alex asked the question, why are you being labeled transphobic? And then this is coming from was Romans 1:32. People commit things, such a things as mentioned in Romans 1, worthy of death. And it says there are those who not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. And so it's like you're agreeing with it when you choose to do nothing. Now, Alex, what she was mentioning, why these labels, transphobia. Phobia has become a buzzword, just like conspiracy theory. Okay, conspiracy theory became one. And usually when you heard the word, when you hear the words conspiracy theory, it ends up meaning something that you really need to research, because there's most likely some validity to what is being said, because usually it's one particular camp that uses these words. And then you get, think of all the phobias. Before, the American Psychiatric Association in their DSMs had homosexuality as a disorder. And then when the mores said otherwise, okay, they changed that from being a disorder, and what became a disorder was homophobia. In other words, you had fear of someone who was sexually oriented different than you were. And then you come up with these different words, transsexual or whatever, and then if a person says, okay, this is not the order of God, then you get transphobia. You get, just like we have Islamophobia and xenophobia and all of these words. So you keep creating this. But what it does is no one wants to be labeled. And so when they put these labels out, what happens is people become very cognizant of what they say, so much so until they may not say anything at all, or they may try and qualify what they say by a statement like, well, before I say anything, I want to say I have transsexual friends, or I have homosexual friends, or I have Muslim friends. And unfortunately, there's a strong probability that many times these people are lying.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a strong probability, but you're trying to qualify it so that people don't think that you're making a judgment. Mm-hmm. If you base what you say on the word of God, then it is substantiated by truth.
Amen.
Okay. And there's always a desire to see people delivered and saved, but Satan doesn't want that. He wants people destroyed. Now think about that. All of this, just put it together when the wrong body. And so what I'm going to do, and when I say I, I'm speaking of these butchers who do these things. I'm saying that butchers who do these things, we're going to give you the body that you were supposed to have because you were born in the wrong body.
Hmm.
I see the deception of Satan. When I look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Okay, God makes something fresh out of him. That's his spirit, his inner man. In this earth, he doesn't change the body. If you had certain scars, you're going to have certain scars. If you have smooth skin, you have smooth skin. If you have brown eyes like me, or blue eyes like one of you may have, or gray or hazel eyes,
hazel,
then that's what you're going to have. Hazel.
Undecided.
Okay? You're still going to have those hazel eyes, okay? If you go and get you some contacts that change the color, that's just something that you bought, but that's not what you were born with. And so it says, old things, old worn out things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. What is it that's old? The sin nature, the things that you used to do. Mm-hmm. And now the only new body that you can get is the incorruptible body that we're going to get when the Lord turns and he gives us this incorruptible body. But what we see now is they're trying to create a body for you. That there's no glory in it.
Amen.
If you listen to the testimony of a number of these people who have gone through these things and how they recognize their lives are ruined, they haven't even stepped into their prime. Their brains are not yet fully developed. And then they get to that particular stage and now they're thinking, what have I done, or what have I allowed to be done to my life? And then to hear some of these people at these so-called hospitals, once again, I'm going to call those areas if they do it, butcher shops. These people who are saying things like, and I heard someone say this, oh yes, one can make us about $40,000. There's a lot of money in ruining these people's bodies.
Yep. Millions.
Mm-hmm. But yes, I do. Satan is behind it. Mm. And what he is doing is he is perverting everything. He is attempting to pervert everything that God has done by those who will allow him to do it. And then people are sacrificing their children for such actions to be taking place. What child at 2 years of age or 3 years of age really says, mommy or daddy, I know I'm a girl, so why do I look like a boy? I know I'm a boy, so why do I act like a girl? This is just not in the mind of children like that.
No.
Absolutely.
Well, when we think about, and this is where, you have to applaud Dr. Mark coming from his psychological professional background, to get to the end and say, this is evil.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something we should have trouble making a call about.
Right.
This is evil. Only evil people would take little children and do this to them.
Butcher them.
Right. Right. And to mutilate them. Okay.
Well, they weren't happy enough or satisfied enough just to do that in the womb.
That's right.
Now we'll do it when you come out of the womb, we'll butcher. Right.
So, you know, so that's why I say when you look at that, you know, interview, now what also, you know, whenever we deal with a pure professional as Christians, we're going to want to reframe some things, right?
Right.
And so one of the things that we would like to reframe is that, you know, he talks about mental illness. Now, we all know that, you know, it's a spiritual illness. There's a spiritual illness, and that's what the Bible says is behind everything. But it does say that we can have a lot of spiritual illness because why? It can be engineered because it's being taught really to our children. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying here is that there is a spiritual illness that's going on in the world, and we need to reframe that. But even spiritual illness can be manufactured because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that's why Satan is the father of lies, and he uses lies to develop that. So now I'm flipping back to Dr. Dozier because I know he has—
Before you do that, you brought up a very important point there, and this is why we always harp on the fact why these churches, and it was brought up at the conference, have to address this.
They do.
Because you're responsible for your flock.
Mm-hmm.
And you have families in your congregations that are being approached and dealing with this on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
And have children and so forth. And that's what the whole reason was, is to wake them up.
It's
and
true.
Wake the people up.
And really, I want to end today with another verse, the verse that we used really for the theme for the conference, so we can kind of talk through this to see where that comes out. But I know Dr. Dozier, you know, began. He is our PhD pastor here. He is the one that's going to say, what does the Word of God say here? Certainly, as Dr. Dennis and I are both the chiropractors, so we get it when people talk professional. Even our profession talks about spiritual things, and, you know, we don't ever give God any credit for any of that, of course. But long story short, when you think about mental illness now, how would you want to reframe what he talked about as mental illness?
Okay. If you take the time and think, mental illness was not seen in as many categories as we see it today. And I'm not speaking in the sense of discovery. I want you to just take the time, if you will, and reflect. And if this happened to anyone who's listening, relative or child, my condolences go out to you before I say this, because I never want to be insensitive. But think about some of the school shootings and these demented people who committed such acts. Whenever we would hear about it on the news and they begin to talk about it, they would come out with two words, and those two words were mental illness. You killed 5 people because you were mentally ill. You killed 20 people because you were mentally ill. No, you did it and you became a murderer because evil was in your heart. But we went to the words mental illness, and once we went to it, you started using it for everything that was evil, everything
Amen.
That
Amen.
Was not like God. Now, I want to give you just a few things out of the Bible. I teach a course called Theory and Theology, and it deals with counseling. There are some Christians who counsel, but they do not counsel with the Bible as their manual. They choose not to. And then there are others who we refer to as biblical counselors. They know all the techniques of the secular counselors. They understand things like behavior therapy, rational emotive therapy, all of these different areas. They understand all these particular things. But we have nothing can supersede the Word of God.
Okay, Amen.
So those things that do not fit, we move them to the side. But look at this. In Jeremiah 17:9, God says something to the prophet, and he says, the heart is deceitful. And the heart has to do with your inclinations, your understanding, your will, your feelings, your cravings, your longings. He says, the heart is deceitful. The heart, when it says it's deceitful, Hebrew, this is saying the heart is insidious. It is polluted. And it is deceitful. It is polluted. It is defiled above all things and desperately wicked. Now, desperately wicked, it took 2 words to translate this Hebrew word. And what it is saying is that it is incurable. It is incurable. Who can know it? And then the Lord answers, I am the one, and I search the heart, and I give to every man according to his ways. So now, when you look at this, he says that the heart is incurable. And we look at men who think they can do certain things, do this and any other, to make life better. But the only thing that can change it is God. He is the one. And so we come into this earth with an incurable heart, with the heart that is, it misleads us and what have you. And then when you get these different people to bring these different things out, going back to where Dennis went in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the word tells us, because they would not attain to the love, letting the love of the truth that they might be saved. They wouldn't adhere to the love of the truth that they might be saved. Wouldn't listen to it, if I might just paraphrase it to you. The love of the truth, they would not yield to the love of the truth. Love of the truth that they might be saved, that they might be delivered. God gave them a strong inner guy. He gave them a strong delusion. And so this is saying, this word strong speaks of a supernatural force, a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And so this is what we're seeing. And I believe that this is, when we think about walk higher, I believe this is the type of counseling that really brings deliverance, because others may say, embrace who you are.
Mm-hmm.
None of us could be born again by embracing who we are.
True that.
We have to embrace the love of Christ. We have to embrace the salvation that he has offered. We have to surrender to him and allow him to change our life. So we've been hearing this thing about mental illness, and that's become the big picture. Anything that's perverted, anything that's deviant, anything that's contrary to the word of the Lord becomes mental illness. And I would like to say, this is me speaking, I would like to say that it is an excuse to avoid responsibility.
Yep. And pervert the lie that you have a spirit, right? That this spirit is something that was born into the world that's been a little bit off, right?
Yeah, but you brought up a good point earlier about them saying that they're not in the correct body.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. Now you're going from the physical to the metaphysical.
That's right.
So now you've entered into our realm.
But it's
now let's talk about the spiritual, because you're.
But then they have to say, remember, your action plan is to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul.
Right.
To love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
Right. They are teaching that God is so, Alice doesn't like when I say this, but dumb, right? Mm-hmm. That he puts you in the wrong body. Or we're dealing with just some kind of crossing of the wires. The space dust did it, right? I mean, that's what's happening.
Space dust.
But when we get to this point, and this is going to segue into the other thing that that Mark did bring up, but your Bible says, God says this in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You know, and so this is the Christian experience.
Amen.
And we still struggle with our old self, right? And they kind of coexist to some extent. But, you know, heaven can't be heaven if Hitler's there. And guess what, folks? Heaven can't be heaven if all of Kevin is there either. Do you see what I'm saying? And so this is that part where God is going to help us. And the one that started this, right? He who has begun a good work in you is able to what? Complete it, right? He's the completer of this whole task. And that means that all of these things are spiritual problems.
Right.
Right?
So Walt brought up that, you know, on the ACE test, the adverse childhood experiences,
yeah.
And the higher you rate on that, those particular questions they ask, the more likely you are, unfortunately, to identify as LGBTQI, whatever the initial, I don't know them all, but
you're susceptible.
Triple plus.
Yes, yes. You are more likely, because let's face a lot of that trombone. So let's think about that just for a second with keeping in mind everything Dr. Dozer said and Kevin and Dr. Dennis. And so can you imagine? So then you disassociate. You don't want to be that particular whatever you were when this trauma happened, right? You want to separate yourself. So by doing that, by trying to become an entirely different gender based on that trauma, you can't. You can't get over it that way,
no.
Right? I mean, because you're just reliving it every day by denying what is plainly clear. Your body knows, right, that can't become something else. So you're constantly fighting and really just, I mean, I feel like it's just reliving that trauma over and over and over by doing it. I feel like that's more damaging to your soul than to just work through it.
Well, how many times did he go to his medical doctor, right?
Right.
Saying, when am I going to feel better? Right.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how his medical doctor, this guy is married with kids, and his medical doctor basically tells him, this is the solution to all your problems. That's what happened. And he really was in so much trouble. Mm. He was looking for anybody to pronounce a cure.
Yeah.
Right. And here he is back there, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years later saying, when will I feel better?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
shouldn't it be now?
Shouldn't it be now?
Yeah.
So the point is that they're delivered a false religion mm-hmm. with a false gospel
and a false
with
healing.
A false God,
right.
A false healing.
Yeah.
They will get nothing. And that's why what? The suicides go up.
That's right.
Right?
After.
That's according to that Danish study that Dr. Mark brought out, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right? And we have new studies that have come out that have showed they're going to grow out of this. You know why? Because it's called the ugly duckling stage for a reason.
What about all the Tom girls?
That's
the tomboys
right.
or whatever. You know what I mean? Right? Give me a break. You know, it's back then it was you were a tomboy. Now you're you're a boy in a woman's body. No, you're not.
Right.
But also let's embrace telling people that teenagers especially, like, yeah, you go through phases to where you're like, you know, your body's developing weird hairs and weird places and you're developing mm-hmm. weird smells and you're like, you know, and it some of this developmental stuff hurts when you're developing, right? Like I know for females, like, so it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. You feel awkward. You feel stinky. You feel nervous around the opposite sex. You feel like all of these things are normal. And we've now started telling teenagers, well, if you do feel those things, then that must mean something else. No, those things are normal. Feeling awkward about your body, feeling all those things, totally normal and totally within the realm of development.
And sometimes you are stinky, as we find out.
Yeah,
and there's something called deodorant.
I'm still stinky.
And taking an extra bath. You see what I'm saying? These are
sometimes
things
you have to do that.
Yeah, I'm a two-shower guy for sure.
Especially when it gets hot out.
It's just the way that it is. And so these are all things that are normal, but they don't know that.
Right.
And they're uncomfortable in their body. And we remember most people that went through high school in America were made to feel inferior at some point. They did not fit in. They did not belong.
And having extreme self-consciousness is also part of the psychological development at that age.
Right.
Right. So what we're doing now, though, is we're telling teenagers, that's not normal. It means something else. No, that's totally normal. I don't know why we decided that we needed to change it into something. Folks, and that I think as parents, we owe that to our children. Like to tell them like, yeah, these are the awkward phases, man. We all felt like that. There was a time when I grew up, my father wasn't in our lives. And I felt like if maybe I was a boy, he'd have been around. But it wasn't that I wanted to be a boy. Mm-hmm. I just felt, you know, because as teenagers too, as young people, if something's wrong, you blame it on yourself.
Right.
Right. So if your family falls apart, it must be something that the children often feel like they did.
Right.
And that's something you grow out of.
Right. So let me turn the corner again. And this is something, again, that, you know, I would disagree a little bit with Dr. Mark, but kind of agree with him. But what I'm saying is this. One of the things he said is that the LG part. Oh, Lord.
The BGs, the CBGB.
I haven't been listening to them lately. And then I just love the 70s.
You're trying to
dance.
Say where he makes the distinction between the homosexual and the transsexual?
Yes, and he says it's a sexual preference. Now, I do agree that if you're thinking tangibly, it can seem like that. But remember, we're still dealing with a spiritual problem. Now, why do we know that? Well, because, right, the pedophiles also would say the same thing, that this is their sexual preference. But are you really willing to say that's all that's wrong here? It's more than that. And so this is, that part felt a little inauthentic of really being able to address. And again, remember his main, one of his main premises, and this is why I'm going to be done with Dr. Mark with my big points from him. When he got to the end of that podcast, he said that if the LGBTQ wins, and that time he said all five, it's the end of humanity. Now, isn't that interesting that a psychiatrist would say, why is he saying that? He's saying it because it's the end of the family. He's saying because human history defines a family as a man and a woman, and that men and women are different, right? Mm-hmm. And that they play different roles in different functions and different purposes. And when we abandon all of that, we could see humanity dismantle. Now, that is also true of the homosexual lifestyle. That same thing would be in effect. So it's not completely just a different sexual preferences. And by the way, as anybody who has gone through a lot of divorces knows, you know, being monogamous versus somebody who's being promiscuous, that's a sexual preference too. And where does that sexual preference lead? It leads to where? Destruction of the marriage.
Absolutely.
So there's all kinds of sexual preferences that will absolutely lead you to destruction. So it's important for us to realize that that's also the case here when it comes to homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So we do want to differentiate that that is part of something that would virtually end the human race is with respect to families and roles and the same thing. So, and the good news, even if you're an evolutionist, the truth is that trait is something that, again, would lead to what? The end of the human race, right? There's no reproduction
right.
that's going
to
happen.
What about the survival of the fittest?
Survival right? of the fittest, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I know, Dr. Doge, you want to jump in there.
No, when you said that, it takes me to where the scripture says, there is a way which seems right unto a man. And we look at that word way, it speaks of a journey, a course that you take through life. And there's a way which seems right, just and the right way to take to a man. But the end of those ways thereof are death.
Yes.
And so we're seeing those things, and think about families that are being destroyed when you mutilate that male or that female's body, and then there's that desire because you're not when you mutilate that body, you're not changing that brain, and then there's that body or there's that desire to have children, and you cannot do it. There's one young lady, she came out and she brings the regret and the disaster of her life, her inability to have children or do this or do that, and how she was really deceived, as we brought out this strong delusion. She was deceived into doing what she did. She was told, I believe her parents were told, that if she didn't do this, she would be suicidal. She would commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And so she took this action, you know, and there are others who have done such things. And some of these people will live miserable lives. The greatest thing that lie ahead for them is being in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that there'll still be some natural consequences that you'll endure because of decisions that you made as a man, a person soweth, so shall they also reap because of the decision that you made. But you do have an expectation of something greater. And then you also, just as Walt does, going back to Walt, just as Walt does, you can use your testimony to help others
absolutely
to either come out or not make the same error in judgment for their life.
Well, there's nowhere to go. When you listen to Walt, you realize that he was groomed. He was fed a lie from the very beginning, and that lie confused him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then because of that, he was a divided man his whole life.
Yeah.
And again, to me, when I think about Walt, the most amazing thing, I had already said it, is he says if he's in a conversation, and remember he talked about some of them, you're not going to be able to talk to them. But if you can and they want to get better, he said, ask them, when did you stop liking yourself?
Mm.
What was going on in your life? Now, isn't that the first lie of the devil?
Yeah.
That you aren't important, right? That you're not special, that you're not a child of God, the image you look like is not a good image.
Right.
That's what I'm telling you. You watch movies, books, and television, you're going to look at those people and you're going to say, that's a beautiful image.
Right.
But you can't say it about yourself, okay, until you get your spiritual eyes open, okay? Because God says, I gave you a new heart and a new spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who we will be in heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? And that what you look like is still a variation of my image.
Right.
You know, we were watching the show. When they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, folks, it's not, that's not a lie. We watched these other tribes the other day. Remember the one where the people that were too skinny were considered to be very, very ugly. Do you remember that one?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we watched it together. And it was very interesting.
Alex
that they,
is like, what are you talking about?
They were force feeding those women. Right.
Mm.
And it was just, and they talked about how miserable they were, you know, trying to, you know, to gain all this weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, you know, you just go back and look at the paintings in Europe.
Yeah, women were, I mean, heavier.
you see what I'm saying? And now, yeah. I mean, we are all kinds, excuse me, plastic surgeries, right?
Sure.
Implants, all these things are going on. Because right now, just right now, we have a group of people that have decided what beautiful is. And you know what that means? God created tremendous diversity. So who's the one who really hates the diversity that God created when he created men and women?
The devil.
They're the ones who actually have a problem. They say we're not inclusive. But what are they? They're the ones that are going off the most minute, the most myopic view of what a man or a woman is to begin with.
Right.
Does that make sense?
True.
Well, you can't now. You can no longer define a man or a woman, right?
No.
but Satan's behind it all because he hates God's creation and he wants to destroy humanity.
So as we're running out of time, I just want to share with everybody a couple of things. There's a reason why even on this podcast, we have taken another direction. When we wrote The COVID Beast, and I have my two co-authors in the room here today, unfortunately, we were right about everything. Yeah. We did a DNA assault.
We told you so.
We did assault
we
on
don't
our DNA.
Tell you.
That's right. We did the assault on our DNA conference.
Mm.
We had the guy who wrote the book on mRNA, and he talked exactly how mRNA goes backwards to DNA. Okay. We have so many doctors saying this. We have, again, the Surgeon General for Florida talking about how every one of these vaccines should be pulled. Why? Because they were contaminated with DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did it mean? He took his hat off and said, I'm going to speak as a person.
Mm-hmm.
No, as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had 90 people there. We had 45 plus pastors there. And Dr. Bonilla nor I have ever been invited to speak about this.
Mm-hmm.
We are not, the people are not allowed to know that this was genetic tampering, genetic manipulation,
mm-hmm.
and why all God's children have his DNA,
mm-hmm.
which means we're talking about being able to make somebody else's child, mm-hmm. because they have their common alleles, right? Now, we had Dr. Thorpe on. He said, absolutely electric. It has been proven they're changing DNA. He even talked about how in mother's milk, right? We have what? Spike proteins being secreted. That DNA has been changed in her body to produce a poison and poison her own baby.
Mm.
Now, if that doesn't get you mad, but guess what we found out, folks? We found out that people don't seem to care about any of this. Mm. And we thought, you know what? Is there anything left people care about? So as we've been getting out there working in our community, we found out that there are a lot of people that care. And that's when we, not just us, but we all came together. That Somebody Cares Tampa Bay, United Pastors of America. We have All Pro Pastors. We have Citizens Defending Freedom. We have Florida Faith Foundation. You know, so we have all these groups that are coming together to try and stand up for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did this, we thought, okay, maybe people don't understand how dangerous vaccines could be, right? Maybe people didn't understand the genetic. But let's find something that was really, really, really obvious and something that should be important to all of us. And that was our kids. And we decided that the number one verse we would use for this was what Jesus said. He says, if anybody hurts one of these little ones, I have a millstone. No, it'd be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and thrown in the sea. Now, what's going to happen to anybody that's got a millstone around their neck and thrown in the sea?
I don't think they float.
Well, let's think about it. A millstone, I'm not going to turn it. It takes an animal.
That's
right. It takes an animal, an oxen or a donkey or something to turn it. So it's pretty big. You've got one stone flat, another stone that's up and it's rolling around to crush the mill. So, you know, I mean, crush the wheat. And so he's talking, you know, it looks like some hyperbole there, but that hyperbole is there to show you just how dire this is, that it's better that you have a millstone around your neck and cast in the sea, because if that millstone is around your neck, you're cast in the sea, you're not coming up. And so as devastating as that is, imagine how devastating it is for a person who offends one of the Lord's little ones.
Well, here we have Jesus making a call. The Jesus that we're taught half the time. And I know there's a lot of good pastors out there, but I'm telling you, most people don't ever hear Jesus standing up and making any calls. They've taken the Ten Commandments, and not just out of the schools, but they've taken it out of church.
They have, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? But love doesn't stand still and do nothing.
That's right.
While the ones it loves are being harmed. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He loved them. He said, if you don't get a heart like theirs, you're not even going to enter in my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important these children are. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I love you, but I'm warning you.
Mm-hmm.
If you hurt little ones, I'm coming for you. You will not get to do that. That is action. That is conviction. Now, we have a Jesus in this situation that is very similar to the Jesus that made a whip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is 18 to 30 something hours, depending on how long it was. That is some premeditated actual action plans.
Mm.
So if the church can't make a call when it comes to what is hurting children. And we have made, it's just like Dr. Mark is saying, anybody that could mutilate a child that is not even knowing what's going to happen, they have no possibility here, and they're going to die virgins, and they're never going to have children. Anybody that would do that was evil. And guess what, folks? We can know that too. Mm-hmm. We can know that Jesus would be able to make this call, and he would be saying, not on my watch. He might even be saying, think again, Batman.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do, right?
Yeah. I like to say this, and then we're about to close. But for years, we heard the words the experts say. We either heard it from politicians, or we heard it from pundits on different shows. I refuse to call these individuals journalists, because they're not out in the field doing anything. There are few, but the journalists, the true journalists, they are also being censored. And people are saying what they're paid to say. But you never saw anybody. You just heard the words experts. The people that we brought to the Truth, Faith, and Action Conference were the experts. Dr. Peter McCullough is an expert. James Thorpe, an expert. Two scientists that we know, experts, even inventors of things, and even these guys, some of these guys are being referred to as conspiracy theorists. But I would like to invite, and this is somewhat being sarcastic, those who are supposed to be the silent experts that we don't know about, I would like to invite them to contact us, the Supernatural Junkies. And see if we can arrange a podcast with you and some of the experts that we happen to now know. And then let's see what happens from there. Oh, but most likely, there are no unnamed experts that exist. But we did bring to you the experts that exist, and the things that they said did come to fruition. And some things are still happening today.
And not only that, folks, but we brought you some of the best. Pastor Lucas Miles, we get to talk about Pastor Rob McCoy, one of the pastors that did not shut down in California. You see what I'm saying? We have so many amazing people here that have been with us on this podcast, even though we didn't even know them and they were in another state. Mm. Okay, you are not alone. We are not alone. We never have been. And so I want you to remember that even though we're having some trouble communicating some things, that when it comes to our kids, if we can't agree, this is beyond ridiculous. I will tell you that when I've texted a lot of pastors, there was one text that I got the most response. And it just said this: either we will work together or we will lose our children. Mm-hmm. This is something we can do to unite. Jesus prayed that we would be one as he and his Father are one. I am thankful for our freedoms that we can go to whatever church we want and worship however we want. I am so thankful for that. But I'm telling you, we're willing to work with you, right, about these kinds of issues, because this is something that Jesus made the call, and I can stand with you, and you can stand with me as we protect our children. God bless each one of you. I'm going to let Dr. Dennis point us out today.
Okay.
Dr. Dozier's got 8 verses turned up already.
Yeah, Dr. Cruz said he would stand with you, but I want to say we will stand with you.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That's why Dr. Dozier's here, because I go off the rail.
and if you do have any concerns with a child or so forth, don't hesitate to contact us, and we will put you in contact with people that can help. Lord God, we just want to thank you for this podcast. We want to thank you for bringing to mind all the things that we are dealing with, Lord, and we have to accept this and address it with the power of your Spirit, Lord. I ask that you go before us. I ask that you, that those that hear this podcast, that you would touch their heart, that you would draw them to yourself, Lord. And we ask that you would be with us for the rest of the week until our next meeting. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Kevin Cruz giving you another pump, because guess what? The Supernatural Junkies are on Rumble. All you have to do is go to Rumble, go to search, and when you search for channels, you look for Supernatural Junkies, and all of our stuff is going to start popping up. It's great because you're going to be able to see the links. You'll get to see exactly why we are saying what we're saying. But most importantly, this is a great way to share with your family and your friends exactly why we are living in prophetic times and why we cannot give up access to our bodies.
Hey, folks, it's Dr. Dennis from Supernatural Junkies. I just want to talk to you today about Protandim. I've been taking Protandim for a few years, and you know what? I feel a difference. I am younger than my age. At least I think I am. Anyway, Protandim is a strong antioxidant producer in your body, because what it does, it causes your body to increase its glutathione production. And glutathione, folks, is the strongest antioxidant your body has. So if you want to keep strong antioxidants in your body and be a healthier you, I suggest you use Protandim.